It's the Go Gopher Podcast with Mike Grimm, episode number 116. I am Mike Grimm, voice of the Golden Gophers, and welcome back to the podcast. We're talking college hockey this week, and it's a true pleasure to welcome back to the podcast legendary Gopher broadcaster Frank Mazzocco. He announced last week that he'd be retiring from his duties with the Gopher Radio Network. Frank has been a Gopher hockey fixture for nearly four decades, both on TV and on the radio. He's one of the very best broadcasters in the country, and we'll chat with him about all kinds of stuff on today's episode, including the approaching Frozen Four in St. Paul. Our Go Gopher podcast is presented by alumni-owned Sunbelt Business Advisors and True North Mergers and Acquisitions. If you're a business founder planning to exit your business, start by contacting Sunbelt Business Advisors and True North Mergers and Acquisitions. Sunbelt serves more businesses up to $5 million in revenue than anyone, and True North M&A serves companies with revenues up to $150 million. Get a confidential, no-cost, no-obligation business valuation started today. Make the most of your life's work. Visit sunbeltminnesota.com or tnma.com today. Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union is also a big supporter of the Go Gopher podcast. Banking for Minnesotans, with you from peewees to the pros. It's Affinity Plus. Go to affinityplus.org/gogophers for more info. We're podcasting episode 116 from the Aquarius Home Services studio. We invite you to subscribe to the Go Gopher podcast. It's free to do so. You can go back and listen to the Go Gopher podcast from previous weeks. Last week's episode, for example, was an all-timer. We had Gopher football special team stars Dragon Kesich, the kicker, and Mark Crawford, the punter, and it was a fun show. And it's still timely, so go back and have a listen as spring football practice rolls on. This episode, though, we're talking Golden Gopher hockey with the great Frank Mazzocco. He joins me next.
I'm Clay Geary, walk-on, turn scholarship, wide receiver for Gopher football.
And I'm Ben Utek, U of M alumni, Super Bowl champion, and Tony Dungy Uncommon Award winner.
We understand championship culture, which is why we're part of the True North family of companies.
True North invests in only elite teams, like the champion team at Sunbelt Business Advisors, Minnesota's largest seller of companies. To learn more about True North and our diverse family of independently owned companies, visit TrueNorthEquityPartners.com.
It's episode 116. Welcome back. It's Frank Mazzocco with us here. And Frank, good to see you.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for the invite.
Well, it's always good. This is a return visit for you. You've been on our show at least two or three times. We did the foodie show.
Foodie show is the only one I remember.
Yeah. I think I had you on to break down some mid-year breakdown at Gopher Hockey once or twice, I think. But yeah. And now you were off into the yonder. You announced last week that you were going to step out of the broadcast booth after, I think the tweet said 47 years in broadcasting and what, almost 35 or 40 with the Gophers?
I have to put the numbers in front of me again. I'm bad with math, but 38 Gophers,
yep.
47 hockey, 50 in the business.
Wow. All right. So why was now the time? Take me through the decision and how you came about it.
Energy, curiosity, they were both fading. And I'll throw in age, because people who are my age, and I'm 72, we're allowed to talk about ageism, right? We're allowed to be guilty of that. My brain just wasn't firing like it used to. And to fill my head with enough accurate information that I could spit it out accurately fast enough, it was just taking too much work. Too much work, too much time during the week to get ready for it. And then to be honest, the curiosity was fading because I've heard so many of the answers. I don't want to scare other listeners away, but I've heard a lot of these answers before to the probably similar questions. So it was getting a little redundant. And then the other thing is, quite honestly, I've got two members of my family, two cousins back in Chicago who are roughly my age. One passed away last year. One is fighting cancer now. Mm. And I thought, you know what? I'm relatively healthy. I'm overweight, yes, but I'm relatively healthy. I want to enjoy. If I've got 10 years of good health, I want to start enjoying them.
Yeah.
So all those were the three main reasons.
Yeah. And you have wife, kids, grandkids, friends that you can spend that time with.
Oh, right. And put my sandals on today for the first time. So this is the official beginning of spring or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. How hard was the decision, or had you been mulling this and decided, did it just like you woke up one day and said, hey, I love the Gophers, I love broadcasting, but there's other things I want to do?
I was in TV back in the aughts thinking, how long am I going to do this? So have I been thinking about it for a while? Oh, only about 15 or 20 years. you know, TV especially, because it was really getting hectic. The pace of the show and everything was really getting hectic. And I thought, how much longer can I keep this pace up? Well, thank goodness radio came along shortly after, and I started working with Wally. And then pace was no longer an issue, because if you've heard Wally and I, we go at our own pace. And I'm not saying slow, but I'm just saying that we talk about what we want to talk about. There's no videotape. We're not slave to videotape replays. We're not slave to producers, right? We're not slave to storylines. What comes up is what we would talk about. And it just made it so much more fun.
Yeah. And that's part of what I was going to ask you about, which we'll get into in a little bit. But I think as a teaser to it, what were the differences? Because you were in TV as the play-by-play guy for Gopher Hockey for a number of years, and then went into radio in a bit of a different role the last 13 years as a color commentator.
Way different.
You
ought to try it sometime, Mike. It'll give you appreciation.
Spencer Tollickson used to suggest that I did a lot of color commentary when we did basketball. He's like, I forgot. He had a term for it, which we got a kick out of sometimes. So occasionally the play-by-play guy can offer some color. But that said, because I've noticed this, I'll say this in my broadcast, part of why people will oftentimes say, well, why have you ever thought about TV? Have you gotten into TV? And I'm not against TV, but I never have been in TV. I started in radio. I grew up listening to radio. It's what I wanted to do. Unfortunately, the paychecks in radio aren't what they are in TV. So that would be one reason at some day over the course of time that I would do it. But I would be at Gopher basketball shoot-arounds especially. And while they're doing that, the TV crew is off to the side. And it's not the play-by-play guy, and it's not the color commentator. It's the producer, and they're very talented. I mean, think about how talented you have to be to do all of what they do and know when to snap what camera and do all this stuff. But they're at 10:30 in the morning in a meeting for a 7 o'clock game that night. And the producer is going, okay, coming out of the first 4-minute media timeout, we're going to show a graphic of this, and this is going to be this, and Williams Arena is 100 years old, and they're playing this team that's this. And then coming out of the 8-minute media timeout, we're going to show a picture of Ben Johnson, and we're going to do this, and then we're going to talk about this. And I'm like, well, what if the game has nothing to do with any of those 14 things you just said? And it doesn't matter because they got pictures, they got images, and they have their own storylines. And for radio, what I found that I like is, you know, we'll pour into the research, as you just mentioned you do. And then, one, you create what you think is an interesting storyline. Two, you can uncover some nuggets that no one else has. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to show up then at 6 o'clock and have the producer say, here's what we're doing tonight.
Yeah.
I don't care what you did. This is how it's going to go. So I like the freedom. I think I like the freedom. Maybe I'd like TV. I don't know. Don't really want to try it. But so with that as a backdrop, tell me what TV and radio has been like for you, both factors.
Well, you summarize it very well. And not taking anything away from the producers. And I heard from the guy who did most of the producing. His name is Chris Withers. Maybe his name has been kicked around. He's in Chicago now. Very dedicated, very diligent. But the storyline was built. And once you start building graphics, once you start building video packages, once you've invested that time and effort into it, you're going to use it. Right? Because you're going to have other guys in that other people in that truck that are going to get a little hacked off if their hard work doesn't get on the air.
Spent 2 hours building that, and now we're not using it.
Exactly. And I researched. So that's what I say in television, you're beholden to the producer, to the videotape, to the graphics, to all that stuff that is pre-built, and hope that they're sharp enough to pick up a storyline in the game. But a lot of times you're following somebody else's storyline. Now, having said that, Chris and I had really good ideas about what to cover in a game.
Yeah.
All right. Now I'll give you not quite the dark side, but my my snide side in what I had been telling friends back in the aughts as I was thinking, am I done here? I was becoming more of a game show host than a play-by-play announcer.
Yeah.
Because just as you said, now we're going to go to this picture. Now we're going to go to this guy when he was 8 years old. Now we're going to do this. Now we're going to do that. It's what's behind door four, right?
You're Monty Hall.
Monty Hall. And it was getting a little bit too much. And to take that a step back, further back, which I hope our listeners want to go back to when
course.
I grew up and when I started. When I started in the 70s, we were more reporters, and I don't want to say, you know, like puritanical or, you know, great and all, because it was coming out of the Howard Cosell era of tell it like it is. So we did more like reporting. There wasn't so much opinion. The play-by-play guy called the play.
Yeah.
We didn't analyze.
Right.
We did not analyze. That was what the analyst, the color guy was for. And now it's a big blend. You watch any baseball game, TV especially, the play-by-play guy is analyzing. Mm-hmm. And they've got to know the game and know the details and know how to play it and know how not to play. All of those things are not what I grew up with and not what I'm comfortable with.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so now switch the role from play-by-play to analyst. I had to learn a whole new skill.
Yeah.
And it was hard.
Yeah.
It was hard.
But for, I think, most listeners right away, because your voice was familiar, you had a history, you had a great basis of knowledge with which to jump in. Where had, you know, had it been some TV guy who was doing, you know, Boston College and, hey, let's bring him in to work with Wally, that'd have been, so the beauty is you had this great fan base already. People loved you. And then two, you had this great basis of knowledge. So even in your mind, maybe if, hey, it's going to take a while for this meld, this blend to happen, I think most people right off the bat were like, oh, this is working, you know, right? I mean.
Well, I guess they kept me around for the 13 years. And yeah, I was blessed to have that name recognition. The voice recognition. So all of that, I had a nice safety net, right? I had that nice cushion going in. I could tell people what was going right. I could sometimes tell them what was going wrong. I couldn't tell them what should have been happening, right? I didn't play the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not in the coach's video meeting that morning to know what they should have been doing, right? So that's the hard part for me. That was the hard part of doing that job.
Yeah. I've oftentimes, though, enjoyed the way you go, particularly like the post-game interviews, in terms of you can tell that you've watched the game. That game in particular, whatever it would be, and then two, that you have taken note over the course of time. Oh, I'm going to ask about this in the postgame. This is important. And sometimes you even say, I'm not sure the answer, but I'm curious. Yeah. And that curiosity is what you talked about even in the first part. So I've always appreciated that too.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I got some of that from my wife. My wife has been an editor the longest time was with the Pioneer Press. And she said, good interview. It asks the questions that a fan wouldn't.
Yeah.
Ask.
Right.
You know, you don't want to ask the obvious too much,
right.
But yet you want to bring some knowledge and get some. So it kind of goes there. I want to dig deep.
Yeah. Find out what we all know you get, and it's the deal, but you get the head coach for maybe 3 to 5 minutes, right, before he's on to his next duty. So you have to make the questions count and get the good ones in there.
And hope he's in a good mood.
Yeah, hope he's in a good mood. that has been challenging over the years, I suppose, in all sports. Me personally, I've been pretty lucky because the guys I've worked with in football and basketball have, there's only been a couple of times that we had, some post-game things where, okay, he's not interested, we'll just, let's take the commercial break.
Exactly.
In your own mind, you're not saying that on the air, but you're thinking,
And I think anybody who's listening intently would pick up on that too. And the other thing, Mike, is they've earned your trust, or you've earned their trust, right? And so you can, you can ask probing questions, and I'm not talking about digging up dirt here, but you can you can ask a lot of why did that happen things.
Yeah, and when you're around the coaches enough to you get that build up that hopefully they're not offended if you don't know what you're talking about, or maybe like for me, I always think I know what I'm talking about, and then the coach will say, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm not offended if they say that. Some guys might be. I'll fight back on occasion, and there's times where I think I've opened a coach's eyes, but there's more times where they're like, yeah, you don't know, man.
Exactly.
The one time I remember, not to get totally off subject, because Richard Pitino is probably, in my time here, in terms of after a loss, the best guy to deal with, just because he didn't like losing, just like Tubby didn't like losing, just like PJ Fleck or Jerry Kill didn't like losing, but he just had a nice gift of gab. He understood we had work to do. However, we were in Madison Square Garden playing Ohio State in what was supposed to be a home game for Minnesota.
Okay.
So we gave up a game at Williams Arena. Long story. So he was already bitter about the whole thing. And then to go further, we were at Maryland two nights before. Got in at 2 a.m. to New York from Maryland, and then played a 2 o'clock game at Madison Square Garden against Ohio State. Supposed to be a Minnesota home game, but guess what? Ohio State had a pep band. Ohio State had their mascot. They had their cheerleaders. They had their fan base had the best seats, you know. So he was already mad. The Gophers lost. Yeah. That was the one interview with him. I think it may have gone 60 seconds because he was just so. And I'm like, okay, there's no use going any further here. And he and I had gotten a chuckle out of it, you know, the next day. But I'm like, you didn't want to talk. He goes, nope. But normal, even in losses, he had been good. But sometimes you get that.
Oh, for sure.
You know, sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, those guys pour their heart and soul into
that's
it, too.
And that's why I understand it. I wasn't offended.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. You know, that's your life. You know, you're fighting for his, and in his case, a couple of times over his career, he's fighting for his life as a coach to, you know, and so, yeah, I can get sometimes why it, why do I want to answer Mike Grimm's questions here?
Right. But all they have to do is realize that to just give you an answer.
Yeah.
Don't short answer. Don't yes, no on the answer.
Right.
And that's happened.
Yeah.
That burns.
Yeah.
That really,
it does.
That really burns.
It does. It does for sure. No, no doubt about it. All right. So you have mentioned you're a Chicago native. So I'm going to ask the simplest of all questions. How did it all start for you in radio? Or broadcasting. Maybe it was TV first. I don't know.
I don't know which was first. I just love the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, grew up in Chicago. So my loves, my passions were baseball. We had sometimes two games a day.
Yeah.
It was Cubs and White Sox. I would sit there and I would watch not only the play, but probably more. I was watching camera angles.
Mm-hmm.
How the game was covered. I thought we had some of the best announcers in the country, and I just absorbed how they did games. And then Blackhawks.
Yeah.
I would not say I was not a Cubs fan, but I did watch Cub games because they were on in the afternoon.
Maybe Jack Brickhouse then through those years?
For
mostly?
Sure. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Who would double? He did both teams depending on who was in town.
He did White Sox as well then.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. Right. I think there were predominantly more Cub games on back then, but I digress. Anyway, so we had this great symbiotic thing going on there. Okay, I'm going to go off target.
Yeah,
there was a rare day back then that they were both in town at the same time. And what was even more unusual is that they were playing at the same time on the same day. So WGN at the time decided they were going to cover both games. Well, I'm glued to the TV. Wow. I want to know how this is going to happen because you didn't have fiber optic back then, right? I mean, it was really cool. And they, they set it up beforehand. I think Brickhouse was at the Cub game and his sidekick, Lloyd Pettit, probably was at the White Sox game. And they had, between the two productions, they had a trigger word to say, okay, if you hear the producer say, such a word, we got something going on at the other ballpark. And then they would switch to the other ballpark.
They invented the NFL red zone before.
They did.
Back and forth if something's exciting.
Yeah.
Wow. So that captured your imagination.
I loved television. I really did. And actually, in those years, I thought I wanted to be a TV director.
Mm-hmm. More than on air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when I got to high school, somebody said, boom, you got a good voice, you should join the speech team.
Yeah.
And then I got a big head and the ego started to grow. And so then I don't know which I chose first. Coming out of college, you just wanted a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked at WOC in the Quad Cities and did both radio and TV, newsroom stuff. Did that for 3 years and decided I was tired of chasing ambulances and getting to carnage on the highway. It was bad.
Not good.
So, So
Quad sports City's came. Rough and tumble, too.
Oh, it was.
There were areas that were rough and tumble.
Well, of course, it was great. Yeah, it was great. No hockey. And then a radio job opened up in the minor leagues. And so that's how you had to start in broadcasting, doing sports. You start in radio. So I worked in radio in Muskegon, Michigan, Milwaukee, and Cincinnati over the course of about 5 or 6 years. And then when I got here, I always wanted to do TV because there was going to be more money there and more exposure and it was a bigger deal. And just flat out, Mike, I got very, very lucky that the North Stars started their home television late, not until November. So they were playing catch up. I got to town without a job. My wife and I were both not working when we moved here. And I happened to be in the same building as the producer of Spectrum Sports, pounded on his door. And when he gave me the job, he said, I was afraid you were going to die if I didn't give you this job.
So that was your first foray into Minnesota sportscasting then?
Yes.
When was that?
82. Spectrum Sports. We did home games only.
Yep.
And then after that, I think after a year or two, Wally and I then started doing North Star games home and away. The away games were on TV, Channel 29, and then Channel 29, in a bidding war with Channel 9, grabbed the Gopher rights away by outbidding him. And then, so that was in about 86. And so starting then, Channel 29 and Wally and I started just doing TV, mostly Gopher games. Yeah. And again, at that time, it was only about 12 games, 12 to 20 games a season.
Yeah, and at that time then, who did play-by-play and who did color commentary?
I did play-by-play. Wally did color.
Color commentary. And then all those years later, then the roles reversed a little bit.
Yeah.
So you had some built-in chemistry with him that you had worked with him on TV.
We co-produced that show. That was really low budget. We would go on the road. It would be just Wally and I. And I had one of the first computer printers, and I printed out our game format because we didn't have a producer on the road, and I handed it to the director in the truck, and I said, this is what we're going to do. This is the order we're going to do it in. Wow. And we had this meeting at 10:30 in the morning.
There you go.
I mean, it was nowhere near as complicated as it is now, but they had to know, where our commercial breaks were and what we were going to do for intermissions. And so Wally and I put that together. We flew commercial. We'd sit on the plane going to or from whatever, and I had a paper chart of all our games and all our intermissions and what we were going to do when we book it out about two, 3 weeks ahead of time.
So you were doing what, when you were young, Frank Mazzocco wanted to do in terms of directing and producing maybe, and then what later Frank Mazzocco wanted to do
for sure.
All at the same time.
Yeah, I would rather have only done one of those.
Yes, that's a double duty there for sure. That's a double duty. So 86 roughly then is when your foray with Gopher hockey kind of started.
Yeah, and that started in Denver. Wally and I did a WCHA playoff series in Denver. So, it was late in the year, a bidding war. We got the playoff rights, Channel 29 did. And Tom Greenhoe, God rest his soul, was the sports information director here at the U. And he came to me and he said, you think you're going to be able to keep up with the play? And I, pounded my chest and I said, Tom, I've been doing minor league hockey and I've been doing North Star hockey for 5 years now. Of course I can do it.
Yeah.
Well, I was out of breath. That's how fast, between the altitude and the pace of the game, it was work to keep up.
Yeah, you were in the mile high city there for sure. Through that time then, so hockey is kind of what got you. Did you do other sports then for Spectrum or?
Never, no.
So no football?
Not since
somewhere?
College, yeah. No. Okay. Once you move to the minor leagues to do hockey, your public relations, your ticket sales, your season ticket sales, and you're the broadcaster.
Yeah.
And there was no time to do high school basketball or small college basketball. Because we some nights, some weekends, we played three games of three nights.
Yeah.
There wasn't time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I didn't know maybe, too, with Spectrum or Midwest Sports Channel or Valley Sports that you didn't at some point, you know, get a Gopher football game on TV.
Yeah,
or,
no, tried to get in the door with Twins baseball, but it was just wasn't a good fit.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't a good fit.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Well, so that brought you to Minnesota. So when did then it kick in? When did Wally get radio and then you were TV?
Well, I got radio the first championship year, 02.
02.
Yeah.
So from 86 up until then, you guys were still mostly TV or did different?
We were like living hand to mouth. I mean, we had, you know, Wally did speedboat racing. He did, what else? Dirt track racing. He produced a lot of stuff. He produced a lot of boat races, TV. I was working a second job as a technical writer, doing computer training and stuff like that. And, you know, I tell every kid who comes to me, says, you know, for some advice, I say, always keep a plan B.
Yeah.
Because you just don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know where things are going to shift. So,
yeah.
So we were just patching together things here and there. And it's too much of a checkerboard to try to figure out.
I'd need a
spreadsheet.
Yeah. Well, let me talk quickly about our sponsor of the podcast here. It's Affinity Plus, your local credit union, proudly serving Minnesota since 1930. If you're a current Gopher student or if you're a proud Gopher alum, it makes you eligible to join this financial that wants to build a meaningful banking relationship and put you first. You can meet with a local employee at any of their branches statewide, including one right here near campus on University in Minneapolis. You can learn more and find other ways to connect by going to their webpage, affinityplus.org/gogophers. That's affinityplus.org/gogophers. They have an award-winning mobile app as well. Affinity Plus, Federal Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA. Big hockey supporters of Gopher Athletics as well, so we thank them for their support. And I know we got a lot of Affinity Plus folks who will be listening to this one when they see Frank Mazzocco on the marquee of this one.
Thank you.
Yes. All right. So your best memories, when did Wooger join you?
He was excused in 99. I think they gave him a year. They wanted a cooling off period. And then the year after, maybe it was in and out a little bit.
Okay.
So the early 2000s.
Yep.
And actually, trying to think when the Wild came, because that's when Tom Reed left the television, and then that position opened up quite a bit. So right around there.
Right in early 2000.
Early 2000.
So I got to town in 06, and it was that time. By that time, you and Wooger had well established yourself. And I think generally that's how probably most people really have, you know, if they're going to remember Frank, it's Frank and Doug, right? And that stretch through the 2000s. That's, you know, I'm from Iowa. I did work in St. Louis and I did cover the Blues, but I really didn't have a huge passion for hockey. But when I got to town, I started, you know, I didn't have a lot of friends. So Friday nights, I didn't go out. So I'm like, well, hell, the only thing on TV is hockey, for God's sake. So I start watching. And I don't say this because you're sitting across the table. This is really the truth. And then I got to know Wooger because he was selling for Gopher Sports and Gopher Radio.
Right,
So I know that guy. And then watching you, I didn't know you personally at the time. And it really did pique my interest. I'm like, this is cool. And then you start interviewing some of the players for daily updates, and now you start pulling for them. And now I'm kind of a Gopher hockey Rubits. The one thing I kind of get to be a fan, like at, you know, Gopher football, there's a job to do. Gopher basketball, you know this, there's a job to do. You want them to win.
Right.
You pull for them.
Right.
Love those guys. Love those coaches. I want them to succeed. But there's a job. They're, you know, not that we're neutral. Clearly, anyone who hears me or you, we're not neutral. But there's also the truth to be told if stuff isn't going right. We both try to do that. But with Gopher hockey, I don't really have much responsibility. I'll interview the players. So I get to, you know, kind of geek out. So get to see you at the regionals, get to see you, you know, unfortunately not this year at the Frozen Four, but last year's Frozen Four and others. But that seed was watching you and Doug on TV, really, to be quite honest with you. And the true spurt, the growth spurt of that was early. I got here in the fall of 06, and in 07, I can remember right where I was. I was at my wife's aunt and uncle's house in Eagan. I'm watching the frozen, is a frozen face-off or final face-off, whatever they called it.
Final five.
Thank you. And I knew I'd mess something up. And
there's too many of them.
The Blake Wheeler play was in 07, and so was my the end of kind of closing in on the end of that year academically, but my first year. And I've told you this before, but I think that call, your call on TV, is one of the great, well, obviously one of the great sports calls in Gopher history. But I just think in sportscasting history, the way you described it, the incredulous nature of your voice, because you literally couldn't, but you actually said unbelievable. And we say that a lot as broadcasters, but in that case,
try not to, because some things are believable.
Some things
are.
But in that case, and the incredulous nature of your voice, and you're just like, if I could paraphrase the call, it was like, I can't freaking believe this, right? I just thought it was an amazing call. And so then I'm like, this is great. And from that point on, there weren't that many Fridays, and Fridays especially, because Gopher basketball and Gopher football weren't playing. Saturdays, it got a little, there wasn't much time to watch. But Friday nights, for all these years, it's been, watching you guys.
We were lucky in that the schedule was regular then.
Yeah.
It was destination viewing for whatever our fan base was.
Mostly same channel, same time
same
for
time.
Years.
Absolutely. Yeah. Even on the road. I mean, we did a lot of road games. We would go to the small market cities.
Go to Alaska.
We never got there for TV.
Is that right?
No, we fooled them badly.
I thought maybe you did a couple times, but maybe not.
No. I didn't go out there to work until radio came along. That was my first trip out there. That was it. It was destination. It was predictable. And there's an element of that reliable schedule that goes into building the popularity of the show, of that Friday, Saturday. I mean, we were regular. And so, yes, I thought Doug and I did a good job of adding
amazing.
To the But, it was storytelling time. I shared this quote. I don't know why I'm going this way, but this is free form, right?
I
shared this quote with Jess Myers in The Rink Live. Doug and I just started working together. So that would have been, like I said, the early 2000s. And we go up to Grand Forks, and it's not a Blue Line Club. It's an all-sport Friday luncheon. I believe they do it every weekend, and they bring out their five-piece brass band, and they really do up a schlocky homespun. So Doug and I are sitting there, and Cal Marvin of Marvin Windows and of War Road and of Only North Dakota Exists, Only North Dakota Hockey Exists. He looks out into the crowd, and he sees Doug out there, and he says, "Wooger, be careful. Mazzocco has burned through a lot of color, man," he says.
That's good.
And through Fred Barrett with the North Stars. Dick Bramer actually did a game with me in the booth. Wally was there. Tom Younghans. John Davidson actually came in for a little cameo. Tom Reed was there. Wally was with me. So Cal had this arsenal, and it was just one of my favorite lines listen to. Anyway, Doug and I then, we just had a great Doug, and that the other part of that is that Doug became the face of Gopher hockey in that time period.
Yeah.
Don Lucia was kind to the camera. He was kind to reporters. He didn't want to be the flag bearer.
Right.
He wanted to do his job. He wanted to coach. He wanted to represent the program, but he wasn't pushing it, right? Doug was in place and absorbed and embraced all of that. So that also helped our Friday, Saturday night through Fox Sports North.
Yeah.
Doug wanted and loved Gopher hockey.
Yeah, he sure did. What was it like working with him then all those years?
Depends.
Right? I mean, people ask that about, even with us on basketball, football, what it's like. And you got to like him. You want to like him because you spend, I joke that over the years I had more meals with Daryl Thompson and Spencer Tolics and Justin Garden than I did my own family for some of those years, right? Those night before meals. And sometimes you're traveling and sometimes it gets a lot. So it's like your brother. Sometimes you can have a disagreement, but it doesn't mean you don't love him, right? So what was that like?
We had few disagreements, one or two, and we cleaned it up early on as putting two people together in a broadcast like that. minor little disagreement on how we were covering things or whatever. And from then on, it was fine. The challenge was Doug's brain was always at high gear. Mm-hmm. He was, and the words didn't always come out. All right. He scrambled things at times. God love him. He scrambled things. My job was, how badly did he scramble them?
Yeah.
Right. Do I need to go back for clarification?
Yeah.
Do I?
You know?
Somebody reminded me on Twitter of this person's favorite. I have to go back and find it. In the last week, his favorite Doug quote was, Jay Baraball had both of his feet in his skate. And I did have to pull that one back and say, Doug, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And he explained, I don't know what it, to this day, I don't
both remember of his
that.
Feet in his skate, he said.
Skate, yeah. Single skate. Yeah, yeah, single
skate. That's good. But those woogerisms were part of the charm of the whole thing, right?
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. He was good. He brought color. He brought character. He brought care. And it was just great to have. My biggest, grandest memory for three whole games was 2008, that three-game series in Mankato. Mm-hmm. Playoff series, Gophers were on the road, so they finished in the bottom half of the league. Go against Mankato, we went three nights. I think it was like a number four against number five, so we're both middle of the pack. Three nights, three overtime games, one double overtime. We played the equivalent of five, over 300 minutes of hockey, and it was just hellacious tempo for three nights. That was incredible.
Yeah. You earned your paycheck.
Earned my paycheck for sure. Yeah. Yeah. And Alex Kangas was a goaltender. His uncle or cousin, I'm sorry, Daryl, I believe his name is, sent me a 3D set. He had made a 3CD set of the series.
Oh, wow.
Which is going to be part of my summer viewing.
Oh, for
to
sure.
Sit down and watch some
of that. No doubt. I remember some of that series, in fact. And it was, I remember, again, I was somewhat new to town, but still learning hockey and this is even like with all, I mean, we don't need to go down the road of, you know, the WCHA breaking up and stuff. But that was one of the things when I got to town, I had to come to grips with because, you know, I don't know enough of it. I'm thinking, well, this is the Gophers. Well, Minnesota State they're just a little D2 school. St. Cloud's just like, well, what's going on? So I had to be introduced to the idea that, oh, hang on here a second. It's not a little D2 school in hockey. And we see what Mankato has done in basketball this year, winning both titles. And obviously they know what they're doing. But just having never followed much college hockey. And when I got to town, my brother-in-law was a season ticket holder. And so I got to, he was going to all those games that you guys were doing. And so it really did. It drew me in. But he also, it was a great educational opportunity for me to learn more about it. And then you understand like, oh yeah, some of these little schools are pretty darn good.
Well, they were D1 in hockey,
D1
right? They're
hockey.
D2 school, we're D1 in hockey.
Yeah.
And it was, and that still exists. There's becoming more separation now, I'm afraid. But that's a whole nother.
We'll do another podcast at some point at that time. So I mentioned the Wheeler. You've mentioned that Mankato series. What are some other games or plays or exciting finishes that maybe stand out to you over the course of your time?
Most of them are in my memory because somebody saved some video.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Danny Ehrman penalty shot. I do remember broader things. I remember going to North Dakota. I remember Gophers winning by large margins. Those were always fun. I remember Gophers losing by large margins, and those were torturous, right? So I remember those. I remember in the 90s, Don Lucia was still coaching at Colorado College. The Tigers came in here. I dug up the numbers one time. It was an incredible number in about a six-year period of games where they were both ranked in the top 10.
Yeah.
That building, that new Mariucci Arena was just exploding with – I remember those. Those are the kinds of things I remember. And, of course, the WCHA Final Five.
Yeah.
That's the crown jewel, and that's probably – one thing that I am just so thankful to be part of.
Right.
I remember walking through that press box many nights over a number of years saying, this is college sports. It's not going to last forever.
Yeah.
This is better many weekends than the national tournament.
Mm-hmm.
that's the intensity that was in the X.
It was crazy. That, like I said, that first year I was here, I knew nothing of it. Even now, I couldn't remember what the name of it was, but I knew that Final Five, you know, and St. Paul's just electric and these fan bases from all over are coming in. And I guess if there's a tragedy to talk about in terms of the league breakups, the loss of that event's probably the biggest of the whole thing, I think. Because I think everyone is – look, would it be better? I think a lot of people say yes, but everyone's landed on their feet. I mean, Mankato's probably benefited, right, in their new situation, what Hastings has done for them. And, you know, Minnesota's gotten some new rivals. When Michigan comes to town, it's a sellout. It's pretty cool, right? So is it as cool as if, you know, North Dakota came to town all the time? I don't know. But everyone landed on their feet. North Dakota's been fine. Duluth won a couple of titles. But the loss of that event, to me, is probably the biggest loss, because everyone's trying to do the tournaments, but none of them are even close.
No, right.
None of them are even close.
No, and we may be getting further and further away from big venue tournaments. It's, the economics are getting skewed.
How about the Justin Hall goal? You were on commentary, right? On radio.
You mean the time I blurted over Wally?
Was that the time?
Well, it was one of them.
Yeah. That had to be hard, right? Because instinctively, as a play-by-play guy by trade, you want to be there.
I did because I had already inhaled. Wally was still inhaling, so I was able to. Let out a grunt.
Yeah.
You know when it went in because I could hear through my headphones. Beat the horn. I know it beat the horn.
Yep.
And it snuck right in. And so I just had to let out a little bit of a blurt.
Gophers are shorthanded. It looks like it's going to overtime.
That's right, right?
It looks like it's going to overtime.
It's a 200-foot play.
And it's just almost at the time you're thinking, well, it's just a throwaway down the sideline. Nothing's going to happen. And then boom.
Boom.
Yeah. That had to be fun to be there.
Oh, for sure. Yes. Yeah. We beat North Dakota like that? I mean, of course it was fun. But I went back and looked at the video. I don't know how many times I looked at the video of that goal.
Yeah.
And it wasn't our call on the goal, but I just remember it was there was a face-off in the Gophers defensive zone with, I don't know, 6-7 seconds left.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Rau, I don't know if he probably won the draw, and boom, one pass up on the rail. And then brings it in, gets one shot, and God,
rebound
we won.
Right there. Yeah, it was crazy. And then I remember I had you on the pod, you and Wally both on the podcast following the Ben Myers game winner. Was that UMass maybe in overtime 2 years ago? Sent him. I think that was it. Yeah, and
I'd need to write that one down. But
yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Well, that was the Aaron Hughlin was behind.
Yeah,
the net.
He dug it
out. Yeah. Right.
And
right.
Then set up Myers. It was in overtime, right? I think it was in overtime, and then Myers buried it, and that was the winner. And I should have looked this up. I think that sent him to the first Frozen Four. Frozen Four. I mean, the first one with Bob Motzko. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, because there was three in a row, correct? Trying to now we're going to embarrass ourselves not remembering.
Me especially, I cover the darn thing, but that's why I always brought reams of paper with all my background stuff. But, and that's another reason why I'm kind of bowing out.
It's two in a row, I think. 22 and 20. Yeah, 22, 23. This is 24. Yeah, two in a row. Yeah. But
seems like that. I was just trying to think of another big goal in there. And I know there were several. I mentioned the Danny Ehrman play. For me to wonder here on the air.
Yeah.
I could drag this out for a long time.
We sure could. We both have the beautiful gift of gab, that's for sure. All right, so you worked with Wally early on TV, then you wrapped up your, last 13 years with Wally on radio. So
that was only going to be five.
Yeah. And then here you are.
Five, I'll retire, we were just having too much fun.
Too much fun. How fun was that, to kind of be able to call your shot when you wanted to ride off when it was time and spend time with Wally? And really, the Gophers also had some good success over that time you were on the radio.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I love the TV work. There was a lot going into it, and we've talked about that already today. But radio was three times as much fun, just pure fun. Because it was more free form, more free flowing. TV, we kind of the crew kind of stayed together. We ate together. We stayed at hotels. And if you can't hear it in my voice, my face is scowling right now. We should have been with the team more.
Yeah.
That's the best part. One of the best parts about radio is that we're on the team flights now.
Yeah.
We get to have those casual conversations in a hotel lobby, in a coffee shop, in an elevator, you know, where the guys are, you know, after a game, you can say, hey, it'll get better tomorrow. Those right. kinds of things that build cred, you know, and you get to know them more. The other part of it, Mike, was, you know, being in TV, we were the only TV crew, right? So we go to another rink. There was still only us. In radio, I've just gotten to I've made friends in radio in other cities. And I will miss those guys because in this last year, as I've been thinking that, you know, it's going to be gone, I've done some selfies and got crews from other towns. Yeah. And because these are guys that we just have a lot of fun with. And when the game is over, it doesn't matter who won or who lost. We're just smiling at one another and talking about the game and maybe going out for a beer.
Yeah. I have this written down. You just mentioned it, what you might miss most. What do you think you'll miss most?
The red light going on at 7 o'clock on Friday night and Saturday night. That's the energy time.
Showtime. Yeah.
You got to bring it. If you're not prepared, you got to bring it. And if you fumble, you got to cover. I mean, that's the energy that really probably what captured my, my mind back as a kid. That there's no recall. This is it. You're live.
Yeah.
I think I will miss that most. But very close to that is going to be the association with the players and things like that. Because those Gopher hockey players are just great. They're just great people.
Yeah. No doubt about it. Well, you go to games. Like I've worked with guys who have retired, and some of them never go back to a game. And others go to every game, and others, I'll spend some time. How do you think?
It won't be an every game thing. First of all, I owe my wife a few weekends.
Yeah,
well, I'll have to ask her if she wants them. Yeah. But yes.
Yeah, but my wife would say, no, go ahead, go to the game. I'll be home just fine by myself.
My wife, Deb, has said to a couple of friends, she says, you know, I'm going to miss my Friday and Saturdays alone time. Yeah. And I'm reading between the lines on that one. I don't know. I'm not going to be avid about it. It's as a friend of mine said in 2010 when I got retired from television, kind of.
Yeah.
I was going in another direction, or they thought I was. We had friends over for dinner late in the summer or towards the fall, and now, you know, I have no radio on the line. I had a full year off, and a friend at the dinner table said, do you miss Gopher hockey? And it just kind of stopped me because at the time I'd started my photography studios.
Yeah.
So I had like 4 years that I was doing studio work. And I looked at my wife and I said, Deb, do I miss hockey? She said, you can't tell it by me. So at that time I had something to go to.
Sure.
And I was looking that photography was going to be my retirement package. Didn't work out that way. I mean, it just couldn't. But so I don't know where I'm going to be this time. It's on my terms. The photo business isn't nearly what I had hoped it to be, but I'm still going to shoot. I'm going to shoot as much as I can. I would love to still do portraits.
Yeah.
Plug. But
I have that written down, photography and your interest. How did that start?
Probably when my dad put a camera in my hand at age 8.
Yeah, so you've been taking pictures your whole life.
For a long time. Yeah, I mean, when we had kids, I had to put it down because film was expensive.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, I was only doing TV.
It was no digital then.
No digital. So from then, and I was blessed. We lived in three houses as when I was a kid, and my dad built a wet darkroom in each of the three. So he never said, you're using too much paper. You're using too much film. It was, go.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
So it's been with me an awful long time.
And so take me through what you do and if people do have interest in portraits or what have you.
Well, right now it's going to be in my house. I do have some studio space set up. There is some room there. It needs to be cleared out now. And so we'll do family portraits. I've been thinking about inviting in younger people who would like to do some modeling work and don't know where to go get their first portraits and all. And,
sure.
I want to keep shooting. I want to keep trying new lighting is the big thing. I want to keep doing that. But then also as I get older and I realize that there aren't going to be a lot of 18-year-olds that are going to want to come to a 72-year-old guy for an artsy picture, right? Yeah. I mean, it's just not going to happen very often. My dad started shooting back in 38 or 39. Wow. I have family negatives, family film that I want to scan and get out to my cousins and to their kids. Did some of that during COVID, found in church wedding 8mm film of a half dozen or so. Wow. Sent one to one of my cousins in Texas, and his father had passed away when he was an infant. He said, "This is the first time I saw my dad."
Is that right?
And wow. Now I got goosebumps here.
Yeah, just no kidding.
I mean, and I thought, Billy, if I did all of the work for this 1 3-minute film, it was worth it. You know, I mean, here's a kid who just, he says, "I have one crinkled up gray, black and white photo of my dad. This is the first time that I've really seen him."
That's crazy.
Walking down the aisle with his mom.
That does give you some goosebumps for sure. And share what you want about your family, because I don't know how private or public you want, but who do you get to spend time with now on these free Friday, Saturdays, or during the week when you're not seeing me on Wednesday in the locker room doing player interviews?
Well, my daughter, her relatively new husband, and two of my granddogs have moved to South Carolina. So that's – I'm not bitter, but I'm going to miss Wrigley.
Sounds like a good winter road trip,
well,
though.
Well, as a matter of fact, a week from today, we're headed that
there
way.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Nick is involved in project management, construction management. He has his own company called Nimble. His wife is Bridget, and I have two. Mike, I'm proud. I have my granddaughter Angelina and my grandson Landon, and they are both University of Minnesota students.
That's great.
Yeah, Angelina will graduate with a degree in psychology next month, and Landon is going to be in computer science. I mean, can you see me smiling? I mean,
you are smiling.
I'm so proud of them. I'm so proud to have them both at this school. So yeah.
Do they get to some hockey games? Watch Grandpa work
on occasion. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. In occasion, yeah. Yeah. Brought them up, but not a lot. But they've been up and. I didn't tip my hat about retirement, but I brought the whole family into a suite on the last home game, the Michigan game, and just said, okay, just don't tell anybody, but this is why we're here.
Yeah.
This might be my last home game.
Yeah. And it was.
It was, yeah.
And now off we go. Off we go. Well, it has really been a pleasure. I've already kept you longer. I do that every week. I keep people longer than I promise them. But
I'm retired now.
You're retired. All you have is time.
All I have is time. And I have you on Saturday afternoon football. I love Big Ten football on fall afternoons on the radio. And you're going to be with me whether I'm cleaning my garage or washing the car or whatever I'm doing. Even if I'm watching TV, I'll do the Kevin Fallness mute TV.
Mute the TV.
I love the way you call Big Ten football.
Oh, you're kind. You're very kind. Why don't you stop up for a game?
That'd be cool.
Don't have a Saturday.
I could do that.
Hop on up. We'll put a headphone on you.
I could do that.
All right.
Well, no, we'll see where my mouth is at the time. But yeah, I'd love to get up there.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks. Love to have you. Good to see you. Congratulations on just a stellar career. You're the seed that has kind of sprouted my own enjoyment of Gopher hockey, and I know I am not the only person that is true for.
Thank you very much, Mike, and many more years, as many years as you want with Gopher Athletics and Gopher Sports. It's a great place to be, isn't it?
It is. I hope to be here a while. If I get to 72, I will. If you offer that, I'm in.
Okay.
I'm in. So we just have to talk to the
bosses that be.
Yes, indeed. Frank, thank you. Always fun.
My pleasure.
Frank Mazzocco, episode 116.
My thanks to the great Frank Mazzocco for being my guest on this week's Go Gopher podcast and sharing all of those great memories with us here. I hope you enjoyed listening to that conversation as much as I enjoyed being a part of it. Frank is one of the best. We'll miss him on the air, but glad that he'll have more time with family and friends. Episode 116 is presented by Sunbelt Business Advisors and True North Mergers and Acquisitions. If you're buying or selling a business, visit sunbeltminnesota.com or tnma.com today. We're also partnered with Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union, a locally member-owned full-service financial invested in you. You can learn more at affinityplus.org/gogophers. Affinity Plus also has an award-winning mobile app, so check that out. Again, I'd invite you to listen to past podcasts. And right now, please click the subscribe button to the Go Gopher podcast. It's free to subscribe and free to listen at any time. And please share that link to the podcast with others so they can subscribe and listen as well. We'll talk again next week.